The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
Yo, this is Rich Latter from One Nation Radio. This is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network. We present to you the Ace of Podcasts, keeping it strong style. Let's go. It's the Ace of Podcasts, keeping it strong style. Covering New Japan, they ready to hold it down. Jeremy Donovan and the young boy Josh. Come and hit a job out in Barrio de Frost. From the Tokyo Dome over to the G1. Social Suplex is the network where we can get it done. I'm a check. And let them have it, cause this is just an intro. Keeping the strong style, 6 stars from the get-go, boy. Yeah, from Tampa Bay to the Tokyo Dome, this is Keeping It Strong Style with your hosts, Jeremy Donovan and the young boy Joshua Smith. And thank you for listening.
Welcome to Keeping It Strong Style on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Jeremy Donovan alongside the young boy Josh Smith. And this week we have a special guest joining us, James Boyd from One Nation Radio. How you doing, James?
Doing all right, man. I guess I've been putting this off long enough. I guess you guys finally got me over let's do it.
We got you. So on today's show, we're going to be covering the Road to Secure Genesis, as well as all the latest news in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Make sure you support the Social Suplex Podcast Network by subscribing on the podcast app of your choice and leaving a rating and review. You can also get all the podcast archives along with our columns at socialsuplex.com. Go to socialsuplex.com/subscribe to sign up to get the podcast and columns delivered directly to your email inbox. All right, James, since you're first time on Keeping It Strong Style, we want to know, who is your favorite New Japan wrestler, your favorite New Japan match, and how you got into watching New Japan?
Yeah, I'd have to say my favorite wrestler is Okada. Yeah, it's probably above me. I like probably since day one, like first time I ever saw anything from New Japan was Wrestle Kingdom 9. And yeah, like he immediately stuck out to me as a star. Like, don't get me wrong, like Tanahashi is incredible. The ace is still ace, but it kind of stuck out to me for his smoothness. My favorite match all time for New Japan, I probably have to say AJ versus Nakamura.
That's a good one.
Yes,
that's a good one. Yeah, I love that match to death. Like, I've only seen it once because I don't want to, like, you know, ruin it. Yeah, I've seen it, trust me. You know, I'm just, you know, you just want to kind of, like, remember how it was.
Leave the memories alone.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, go over too much, so it kind of, like, you remember so much of it that it kind of, like, ruins like the feeling of it, and kind of feel like, oh yeah, I remember this turn in that twist. So yeah, but I would say that one.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, it seems like Wrestle Kingdom 9 has been like the jumping off point for most Western fans. Yeah. That whole promote, the one good thing Jeff Jarrett did right, that whole promotion of that event.
You don't like Dance With My Baby or whatever that song is?
With My Baby Tonight.
With My Baby Tonight.
I like when Pritchard sings it.
Oh, my God. Bro, we'll be here in the apartment and, like, all of a sudden I'll just hear Jeremy, gonna be my baby tonight. I'm like...
Oh, my God.
I actually haven't heard it in, like, so many years. I forget how it even goes.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, this is terrible. Yeah,
Pritchard sings it, like, every episode.
You're absolutely right. It is terrible.
And they're
but I would say honestly, if it wasn't for knowing this guy next to me, Josh, for like putting over Japanese wrestling for so many for the couple years that I'd known him before that show ever popped up, I don't think I would ever really gotten into it. It was kind of like a word of mouth thing, and he was a huge champion for that. And I think me and Rich both owe you like a debt of gratitude for that, because like, you know, we weren't smart fans at all. We were just watching the TV product or whatever else, and then like we come running around you and we're talking or whatever, and then like you start telling us stuff, and I'm like, okay, yeah sounds good.
You guys gotta see this UWF Akira Maeda match, it's incredible.
Yeah, okay, whatever else, like, we're good with this. I mean, I don't, for lack of a better word, like, WWE is like McDonald's. Like, we're good with this McDonald's right here, okay? It's fine.
This Big Mac,
it does its job. And then like, and then we saw like and then we saw Nakamura Ibushi, and then Okada and Tanahashi, and we're just like, yo, what is this? Is this even like, how do we never, like, what have we been doing with our whole lives? Like, is everything a lie?
Do you remember a time when we used to think that and you specifically used to say, if it didn't happen in WWE, it can't be match of the year because that's the minor leagues.
Did I say that?
You used to say that. And now, like, you would never say that nowadays.
Well, I think it was, I mean, I guess it's just, you know, flat out, if I did say that, I guess it's flat out ignorance.
Well, because you're like, I'm not watching minor league wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I did say that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. You talk about, no, actually, I don't think it was Japan as much as it was, like,
right.
This stuff on the indies, period. Right. And I'd be like, so you tell me about stuff that happened on Ring of Honor and stuff. Like, look, dude, I understand that, like, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Bryan and Punk had, like, these five-star matches elsewhere. Like, however, like,
right.
I've seen TNA from time to time, and like, that's fucking horrible. I would never actually in my right mind sit down to watch that stuff at that time. Like, I remember Rich would tell me about, like, yeah, man, so like, they're doing this thing called Aces and Aces. They're like a biker gang, and then like, he would give me like kind of like progress reports, and all of a sudden, like, when he was like, dude, like, remember Bubba Ray Dudley? Like, yeah, like, yeah, Bubba Ray Dudley was like, in the story, in this Ace and Ace thing, he got his ass whooped by these dudes for a few times or whatever else. And he said, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they decided to say that, like, he was the leader all along. Like, some, like, Austin. Like,
it was
like,
me, Austin.
Yeah, like, this is a supreme power.
It was
power.
Me all along.
It was me, Austin. I'm just like, dude, I can't believe y'all. I can't. And what
you,
is this?
And you what know what? That's one of the storylines that killed their business, but up until that point, they were actually having, like, a boom period.
Right.
That was one of their, when Austin Aries was the champion, and yeah. Jeff Hardy and him were feuding that summer, they're having, doing, that was their best business they ever did.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Hardy feud before the,
is that the same time?
Bobby Roode stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Bobby Roode, I think, was still part of Beer Money at the time.
I think yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that James Storm, right?
Yeah.
They were good. Speaking of Beer Money, you got a Bud Light right next to you. That's funny.
Don't be ratting me out to the listeners. I do this show sober.
I didn't say you were
sober.
Drunk.
Sober minded. Straight edge.
Oh my god. All right. CM Punk gonna come through the telephone. Gonna come through the microphone and whoop your ass for that. All right. So yeah, I would definitely say that I definitely owe you all jokes aside, I definitely owe you a debt of gratitude for that, because
I've never thought of it, because like, sometimes I'm the wrestling geek in the group where I'm like, guys, you gotta check out this match, and like, everyone's
what do you mean,
like,
sometimes,
alright,
see, I'm not exactly on your level, but I'm like, it's a notch like underneath you.
Nah, Josh was trying to argue with you about like, what was the best match in 1973. Like, see, I'm like, dude, see, I'm not yeah, doing that with yeah, you, Josh. Yeah. Fine, you can have it.
I mean, I'm not gonna argue about it if I know what the best match of that year
see,
was.
See how you put myself over?
Yep.
See, I can already tell the face heel dynamics of this, between this this partnership here. I can already see it.
Nah, we're both faces.
Yeah, sure.
We're good guys.
Sure you are.
We both wear the white boots.
Yeah.
Where the wife was like Triple H in the early 2000s, huh?
Yeah. Oh my god. Right. So let's talk about Sakura Genesis and the Road 2 show.
Yeah, so on Friday there was a Road 2 show. Not too much happened on that show.
Something happened.
Yeah, but
something magnificent happened.
Yeah, but overall it was kind of there. But the opening matchup was a rematch from the Young Lions Cup in December. Yagi and Narita.
I believe this was our match of the month in December.
Yes,
it were was. We not pimping the crap out of that match?
Yeah, we were.
No one was talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we were.
Because that was a match that happened in front of like 100 people and no one watched it on New Japan World, but it was like one of the best matches of the year.
Yeah.
Well, they
I remember we were marking out in the old Strong Style Studios.
Yo, they topped that match.
They did.
The first, so we watched this match and I said, oh, it was better than the original match. But we went back and watched the original match and I was like, oh, this one was better. Yo, Yagi and Narita is that freaking match, yo.
That's the fight forever.
That's the fight forever match in New Japan.
10 years right now. From now, when they're main event in Wrestle Kingdom.
When was the last time that a Young Lion match was the best match on a card?
It's been a hot minute.
When's the last time you saw a Young Lion match that was over 3.5 stars?
But a multi-man match, maybe.
Not even.
Yeah.
Like, never, bro. It never happens. This match was phenomenal. So, Jeremy, talk about your first impressions of this match.
Well, I mean, it was pretty much similar to the first one, with both of them going out there, like, slapping the crap out of each other.
Right.
Pretty much having no care for each other's body.
They
look
don't
like.
Care at all, bro.
I mean, both of them had very nice drop kicks. I know we were joking with Rich that Okada's going to be like, hey, young boys. you need to calm down with a dropkick spot.
Yagi has a very similar dropkick to, like, Okada, mm-hmm. whereas freaking Narita, he does one similar to the Suzuki one, where he runs at the guy and hits him as hard as he can.
Yeah.
And it's just like, holy crap, it's so dangerous. Then,
Narita with the headbutt spot, which I'm like, dude.
Oh, yeah, he hit him with a... Yeah,
like, have we not just seen Shibata? Like,
you heard that joint.
Yeah, like, all here was...
yeah, and they did that in the last match too, so it was a callback spot to the first match.
The first match, the headbutt wasn't as hard. Like,
oh, it was pretty hard.
But this one, though.
This one was worse, yeah. So, I mean, this was just... I think part of the reason why these guys go to war so much and maybe that they're allowed to showcase what they're doing is because they're booked at the bottom, bottom of the freaking Young Lions.
Yeah, they're both, like, bottom two. I mean, it was Yagi who got left behind. He didn't get to go to Long Beach.
He didn't get to go to Long Beach. They freaking beat the crap out of him every time
he got his head shaved by Suzuki.
He got his mouth busted open, his nose broke. Like, they beat the crap out of him.
And Narita, like, didn't, like, Dave Boy Smith Jr., like, stand on him a couple shows ago?
Remember he got that...
The choke slam from Archer.
How long ago was the head shaving, though?
That was back in January.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, these two guys, also the storyline going back to the Young Lion Cup was that they wrestled on the final night of the tournament. They both had no points going into the final, so they're at the bottom of all the booking of the Young Boys.
Right.
And they went out there, they had a war, and they went 15 minutes to the time limit. Draw. Both guys ended up with 1 point for the whole tournament for their showing. But they walked away with my respect because that match was incredible. Well, they freaking did it again on the bottom of a show, some Road to show, that with no fanfare, nobody even knew that the match was happening. They popped for this match like it was the main event.
The crowd was into it. Even like Don Callis.
Don Callis was so into it.
Rocky Romero were popping for it.
They were popping so hard. They were like, this is the best like performance I've seen from Young Boys all year. Because they don't see all the smaller shows even. Right.
Especially Don, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was incredible. It came to a point where basically Narita was... In I think two or three times he was in the Boston Crab.
Yeah, yeah.
And each time it looked like he was gonna to lose. He kept fighting through it. He ended up getting to the ropes. He eventually turned the tide, put Yagi in the Boston Crab, and then you started hearing the announcers give the countdown
like, you know, 30 seconds left.
It started feeling like a William Regal TV title defense on WCW. And but Yagi was clearly not getting out of that Boston Crab. Like, Yagi tried to power out, and he was so spent and so tired, he wasn't making the ropes, and Narita just started cranking on it, and then the bell rang. And so the last time they wrestled, when they went to the bell, it looked like Yagi was going to pick up the win. And now they've gone to the bell again, and it's months later. And now Narita looks like he has the upper hand. These guys have put on two phenomenal, near like 4.25 to 4.5-star matches. And the only reason they're so low is maybe because the non-finish and their
time limits,
and their Young Boys. But
right, they can't do. They could do more moves.
If they could do more moves, like this is some of the most. Yeah, their entire matches are happening in the ring. They're not even leaving the ring or anything. It's incredible. Yeah. So, yeah, this match was just freaking awesome. We popped, like, we watched it twice. Like, that's how good this match was. And this was a low-key contender for match of the month. And, I mean, it's going to be one of the best matches of the year when the year's over.
Yeah, definitely.
So how often do you guys actually go back and rewatch matches? Like,
not very
like
often.
In short succession. Not like, you know, I want to go back and watch, like, Okada and Shibata. Like, as opposed to, like, you know, watch a match and, like, you know, within a week, like, check it out later.
I think when we're, like, coming down for, like, match of the month, if it's close, like for February, we rewatched Ospreay and Hiromu and Okada and Tanahashi. We watched those, like, twice.
I think with our schedules and the coverage we're doing on New Japan plus watching other products, it's hard to actually rewatch. When we're more casual.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we're more casual, I would, you know, we'd watch big shows and then kind of here and there pick and watch matches. But lately, we don't really rewatch matches unless it's really significant.
Or like match of the month or something, yeah.
That match was just awesome. Like both of those Yagi and Narita matches, I'm going to pimp them forever. They're that good. Like, they're going to be so underrated. Like, time's going to forget about these wars. And, I mean, I don't know. I've never seen any Young Boy matches that good ever.
Yeah, they were really good.
So, incredible. I can't wait to see them go again. Because now they got a backstory going. This is just like Jay White and Dave Finlay.
Young Lions show next week.
Yeah, coming up. And we got two new Young Lions, which means guess who's getting bumped up? Yagi and Narita.
Yeah.
Because they got Young Boys underneath them now. So they're not going to be at the bottom anymore. And that just means someone's got to go. It looks like, I don't know, Kitamura's still out. Who knows what's going on with him? It looks like Umino's getting pushed, so
yeah,
we'll see.
And also, like, you also got to get to with Kitamura, like, given his age, like, he got get him up and out of here.
Well, he's injured.
So, means, like, you know, yeah. The sand glass, the sand is coming out faster.
Well,
injuries don't help.
He had a 7-match series he was supposed to finish, and he didn't finish the last one.
How many matches short is he?
One.
Yeah.
But we think he's probably, they're going to sweep that under the rug, and he's just going
Never mind that.
I think he's just going to go. I think once he recovers, like, mm-hmm. we probably won't see him again for a year or two, and then he'll come back.
Where would you like him to go?
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's funny.
But
it's like, it's almost something like, you know, like a proud parents, like, you know, he's taking off from different colleges. Like, where would you like him to go? That's the way it came out. That's funny.
Like me and Jeremy, we've planned about this. We've discussed
it. Yeah.
Hopefully somewhere where we're single days drive away, right?
Somewhere that has TV exposure.
I don't know if I want him to have TV exposure. Like, I'm kind of almost, I would almost prefer for him to go to the Indies at this point. That's just my feeling.
Like, go to, like, Evolve or something?
If he had someone that could translate for him and, like, help him that was here in the States and make it a successful thing, and he could, like, just go underground and wrestle for all these local indies, like, all over the States, and just build, like, a cult following and show up on iPay-per-view here and there for, like, Evolve or for, you know, I don't know, AAW and that, you know, PWG, and maybe he goes undefeated for a while, and then at a certain point they build him up, he loses to some champion here, it's a big deal, and then he goes back to Japan. Right. And he comes back with a new gimmick, and he defeats Okada and ends his 5-year run.
5-year run. Sometimes I've thought about that before, but, like, sometimes I wonder if they actually want, seeing how they want to expand into the U.S., like, if they actually want somebody developing in front of the quote-unquote American fans that would be most likely to actually check him out.
Right, which I wouldn't be surprised if he does go to Ring of Honor. They've had a lot of guys. I mean,
they've had a lot of guys.
Evil did his excursion there. Right. Jay White just recently.
Right.
Evil did kind of, but kind of not. but Jay White did.
So, if you had to choose between, like, let's just, you know,
they didn't if do you say, anything like, you said,
CMLL or Ring of Honor, what would you prefer to go?
CMLL. Guys tend to become better workers and become more well-rounded characters, and just in general, they've got a much greater track record of success,
mm-hmm.
and it also keeps the guys more, like, on that side of the world with less coverage, so it's more of a secretive thing.
Right.
Ring of Honor is more exposed, and they're not going to push them. Not that they're supposed to push them.
Right.
Right. But I mean, you would expect that
they barely used Sho and Yo. They barely used, I mean, they used Jay White, but he was already kind of established. Right. They did nothing with Evil when he was Watanabe.
Evil was doing jobs.
He was barely used. I mean, I think he was with Jersey Pro or whatever it was.
Well, I mean, until what? The G1 when he got that one over Okada, like, what was he doing in New Japan?
He was still, he was a gatekeeper for Naito.
Right.
He still had a prominent role, like, in a character and a gimmick and all that. But,
well,
like,
I mean, yeah, that is a gimmick. That's definitely a gimmick.
But, like, earlier, I mean, they didn't do any. He did was go to the U.S. so he could gain weight. That is, like, literally much, what they told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go there, bulk up, get a character, come back. That's it. But, yeah, I would like to see Kitamura, like, maybe, who knows, maybe go to Europe.
Yeah.
He could go to, I mean,
go to WXW.
He'd go to Progress. He'd go to Germany. Yeah, go
to, who knows? 5-star.
But, I mean, with that being said, what else happened on the show? Speaking of Evil.
He made his big return.
Yep.
This Road 2 show. There was a 10-man tag, LIJ, against Suzuki-Goon. And Evil picked up the big win there against Kanemaru.
Yeah. So getting back on the winning track. And there wasn't really much that happened on this show that was really standout. It was your standard Road 2 show. You know, the results are out there. You guys might want to check them out. The one big thing, though, was the main event was a tag team match.
Yeah. Yep. Yoshihashi and Okada against Tai Chi and Sabre.
Right, so this kind of set up the main event for Sakura Genesis, and the real question was who's taking this fall? Yoshihashi or heavyweight Taichi?
Correct.
And it's like, who'd we watch this with? Was it Rich? Or was it just you and me?
It's just me and you for the Road 2 show.
Yeah, I think you were like, who do you hate more, Yoshihashi or Taichi? And I was like, wow. Yeah. Wow. I don't really hate Taichi, though. Like,
I don't really hate Yoshihashi. Like,
oh, I do.
Like, Taichi, I see, like, oh, that's immediate heat. Like, you're lip syncing to the mic. Like, come on, man. And you wear a mask, like, you're like, come on. Like, Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Like, you're definitely.
Yeah, and he usually has a hot girl out there with him, Miho Abe.
Yo, I don't know if you saw, she, put a tweet out. I couldn't understand it because I wasn't able to translate it, but she was taking photos with her and Hideki Suzuki from Big Japan, and it almost seemed like maybe they're together now, and I'm like,
man, that's sad. No more Miho Abe.
Yo, I'm going to have to get a Big Japan subscription or something. Oh, oh man, cause she's a draw.
Yeah.
She's a draw here in these streets.
She's a draw, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so anything else from this Road 2 show?
Yeah, Yoshihashi tapped out.
Yep, Saber.
Yeah, so before we talk about Sakura Genesis, do you want to wrap up our matches of the month and our superstar of the month, or do you want to go into Sakura Genesis?
We'll go into Sakura Genesis and then go into that afterwards.
Let's do it.
All right, so James, you saw this show of Sakura Genesis on Saturday. Opened up, we had a battle of the Bullet Club. It was the Young Bucks taking on Chase Owens and Yujiro Takahashi. What do you think about this match, James?
I thought it was a good, solid opener. Fun, didn't drag, really. I'm kind of wearing thin on the Matt in his back and just having to sell it over and over and over. And I understand, like, he might actually really be injured.
Right.
I mean, and that's, I guess, is a way to get through it, or whatever makes it an easier night for you. And it's, you know, it's just an instant, easy story. So I appreciate that. But, like, we've been doing this since January, bro.
Yeah, man.
Like, maybe you should take some time off. Like, I think it would be nice to showcase Nick as a single for at least a little bit.
Do you think it's like Ace Cowboy Bob Orton with his forever injured arm?
No, I don't think it's full of gimmick like that. No, yeah. I don't think it's like that. But I'm getting concerned about the fact that he's like, this dude's really going through it, and like, I mean.
And he's not.
He's still taking some big bumps.
And he's not taking any breaks. I mean,
right.
He's doing New Japan, doing Ring of Honor, Europe.
I mean, the matches they're working with, that everything aside that you said, and I'm totally in agreement. I think, you know, if he is injured, I don't know. Well, there's a part of me that kind of thinks like this is part of the story and it's leading somewhere.
Right.
But at the same time, it has been a long time and they haven't really ever come out and said what the deal is. Like, what is his injury? Why is he banged up? I mean, did this guy even go to a doctor? Like, what's the deal? Right. You know?
Well, I know we're going to talk about Being the Elite later, but on this week's Being the Elite, Nick asked Matt about his back and he was like, it's as good as it's going to get for right now.
Yeah. But with that being said, they're still working fantastic matches around it, and I love Southern style tag wrestling. This one didn't disappoint. I thought that this was a really, like you said, it didn't drag. It was a really fun, clean opener. I liked when they all did the two sweet. Well, they tried to get them to do the two sweet in the beginning.
They did the New Japan handshake instead.
Because they can't do it.
Yeah.
And then they turned their backs.
Jumped them. Jump zone.
Yeah, they jump zone those boys. And that was kind of telling, because it's like, oh, I guess Chase and Yujiro are going to play heel here a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of setting up a little face like situation there.
Well, the especially the Korean crowd, or was this, what crowd was this? This was
they were in Sumo Hall.
The Sumo Hall crowd usually loves Young Bucks, and Young Bucks are like, have gotten pretty over.
Is there a crowd that doesn't like the Young Bucks in Japan?
Yeah, at this point, I mean,
it has to be some, like, it has to be smaller towns,
right? I mean, at this point, they're in such incredible matches, like
they're big draws over there. I mean,
right, you hear the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, given where we are with Matt's back, like, if this is a situation where, like, nothing matters, he's not going to take time off, he's just laser focused on getting the all in, and then, like, hopefully, like, I feel so much better about the situation if, like, there was, like, a destination to where, like, once we get past all in, he can take a break.
Right.
Like, I hope that's the case. Like, I'd be more on board with this if we find out, like, okay, he has an end goal in mind for when to, like, lay off.
Well, that's been the brilliance of their storyline and the storytelling they're doing across all these platforms. And me and Jeremy talk about this week to week, how they're interweaving all these different stories.
Yeah.
we don't know where the story's going. And every time there's a new, like, wrinkle or a new, like, rivet, we didn't really see it coming. Even if we did a little, even if it was hinted at, it's really hard to tell where everything's going. And they've done a great job at it so far. Like, it hasn't, like, worn out my patience, even though it's been, like, slow build.
Right.
So I'm trusting and believing that it's leading to something that's going to pay off. Don't know what it is.
And one thing that we should absolutely give the props for, as much as, like, I'm kind of getting worried about his back, like, for all the crap they people have given them over the years for being spot monkeys and no psychology, and
blase, video game wrestlers.
Yeah, blase squad. Oh, yeah, the cornet line. Yeah. Video game wrestlers, the blase squad. Like, they've been doing this and committed to it for at least 6 months. So, like, you people should be able to, like, respect that and, like, actually appreciate what they're doing, because, like, they're showing people, like, and also people like Ospreay, like, we can we're not just what, you know, all this crap you claimed us to be. Like, we can actually sell. And actually, we do, you know, in New Japan, we do some of the best selling in the world.
Yeah.
And I love the new use of the sharpshooter that they've been doing the last couple months.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Matt doing the, like, it's so funny watching Matt turn somebody over to sharpshooter. He's like he's going to fall off from his back being such pain.
Right.
And then he's wearing a weight belt. Like, he's getting it over so hard.
I mean, one of the biggest, like giveaways that you don't actually watch the product at all, and it's fine if you don't, whatever, I'm sure if you're listening to this show you probably do, but is if you're gonna sit out there and criticize these guys and say that they're just spot monkeys or whatever, you're clearly not watching these guys work, because they're working Southern style wrestling.
Watch this match, watch the Roppongi 3K match.
I think they can play the Indian arena. Like, they can do whatever they're that kind of talent,
right? They
have that kind of talent, but they can do pretty much whatever they want whenever they feel like it. So, but that's the one thing people, like, don't really appreciate when it comes to
that are out there just saying, oh, they just do this one thing, they're not watching they don't know what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, like this, like being elite and everything, I was like, somewhere, like they got the storytelling down. You can't deny otherwise. Like, otherwise you just flat out, like, a flat earthing.
Right.
Well, basically, to kind of surmise this match, Young Bucks ended up beating Chase and Yujiro. They ended up getting Owens. Of course, Chase would tap out again. They ended up getting him in the cease and desist, the sharpshooter.
Yeah.
And got him for the tap out.
It's just a cease. Cease and desist is when the sharpshooter crossface combo.
Oh, my bad. Sorry about that. Thanks for correcting me on the air. Dang it. But, He ended up hitting him with the freaking sharpshooter, and they got the win. So they get the rebound win coming off the loss in Long Beach. Kind of furthers the internal feud between the Bullet Club, just in general. We don't even still know what's going on with that, but these guys all hugged it out at the end of the match and show that there's no actual heat residing afterwards, which is kind of nice. So
there's one important element we missed about this match.
Chase?
Peter.
Oh yeah, PETA was there. PETA,
Tokyo Latina.
Don't judge us, James. This is our show.
Don't judge us. This is our show. I'm still gonna judge. Keep it over your airwaves.
Oh man. All right. So
hey, does she look good? She look good.
That's true. She does look good. Can we move on now?
Yeah. So next matchup, we had the team of Toru Yano and Ishii taking on probably the worst Suzuki gun combination, Tai Chi and Iska.
No, it's not, because we discussed this. If you had Archer and Azuka.
Oh, yeah. Golly.
That would be bad.
So this match was pretty much the typical Yano Ishii formula that we've been seeing in tag matches.
Instead of doing the crap that we do every week, where we come out, we're like, Azuka sucks, Taichi sucks, why the crap are these matches still happening? I would actually almost want to skip over this, but James is here.
Yeah.
So, James, what were your thoughts on your first viewing of Azuka and Taichi?
Well, you know, I have Ishii is in a special place in my heart by being, like, the best bad body worker in the world. So,
I've actually never used that term on this show before.
Oh yeah,
because I don't want to infringe on your gimmick. But.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, y'all just use jump zone, so, like, who cares?
that's free.
That's free. Well, okay. All right. Whatever. Okay. So, I said to you before this match, I was like, dude, like, this is gonna be an issue for me. Like, this is gonna be like the first ever like Ishii match I've ever seen as a person that parachutes in and out on New Japan. This is gonna be like the first like sub 4.5-star match I ever seen from Ishii. I don't know how to handle this. So, but it didn't drag. It was fun at the time. Like, you know, I'm not really a fan of Toriano in the foolishness, but like, you know, I guess, you know. It worked out this time because they kept it kind of short.
It was only 8 minutes.
Yeah, they kept it real short. And that's one thing I appreciate for their multi-man matches. Like, they get in and they get out, and there's not much wasted space for the crowd to actually turn on it like that. As opposed to, you look at the American product, and it's like, yo, this is a dread to get through, just a pure burden to get through. So, I thought it was fun. I thought that Ishii, I guess for lack of a better word, like, they found a formula and it's working. Trying to think, what other matches have I seen with those two? I think
Ishii and Yano.
Yeah,
I think we saw one on was that a New Japan Cup? No.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, New Japan Cup show.
You came over to watch the final.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And that match was good. That was the match against Arch or KES.
Yeah.
And that match was surprisingly like very good.
Contendership match, yeah.
Yeah. This match, as bad as it was, and don't get me wrong, it sucked. There's not really much to say about it. It's everything you'd expect from Yano and Iizuka.
Mm-hmm.
It was better than it had any right to be. And it didn't, like, it was 8 minutes and it was over. So that's.
What do you think about the Iron Claw?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was unaware that was a thing, and then I saw the Iron Claw, and I'm thinking, like, you know, I actually made the joke, like, is it gonna be like Thanos is an Infinity Gauntlet? Like, is it gonna just be the whole hand? And like, he puts it on, and I'm like, oh, so it's basically like, you know, almost like the Mandible Claw except iron.
The funny thing was, like, trying to explain it to James was like, yeah, he's gonna use the Iron Claw, and like, James was like, what?
Like, do you mean like this is like a metaphorical claw, right? Like, no, it's a literal like a claw. And I'm thinking like a literal claw. Like, I mean, here you go with New Japan.
Did you think like the rules. Did you think it was like the Von Erich family? Like the
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the hand of Fritz. Like, put it right on you. Yes.
Like, and then we're like, nah, bro, it's a real Iron Claw.
A real claw.
It's not even a claw. It's like a thimble or something. He just jabs it at people. It sucks bad. Yes. Anyway, so Yano and Ishii picked up the win. Iizuka took the fall.
Low blows all around.
Yeah, low blows all around. Western Lariat. 1-2-3. Iizuka takes the pinfall, which brought this match up for me a bit.
Wow.
All right. Next up, we had a never open weight 6-man tag title match. Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa defending against Makabe, Elgin, and Taguchi. What do you think about this one, James?
I was kind of like, I kind of zone checked out on that match. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it per se. It's just I've never really been much of a fan of Fale aside of the Okada match for some weird reason.
Yeah.
I guess because I'm a Okada mark, but it's fine. Yes, but I thought it was a well wrestled professional match. It just, but it didn't really move me.
Right. And I mean, there wasn't really that big of a story going into this match. I mean, they won a 6-man tag on the Road 2 show. I don't really know like how this team pretty much. I mean, they've teamed together here and there, but it's not like a solid unit that you see all the time.
You want a stat?
Yeah.
I got a stat.
All right.
This was their third successful title defense, which tied them for the most successful title defenses in the history of this belt, tying them with LIJ from last year, back in 2017. Those guys defended their belt 3 times over 228 days, and these guys have done it in 86 days.
Yeah.
So they're the Iron Man, they're like the 90s Bret Hart of this era?
Of this,
Of the six-man tag division,
yeah.
Okay.
And it's usually, the six-man tags are usually hot potatoed around from team to team.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't lost it yet. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, 86 days is pretty long for this title. There's only like 3 teams that have held it longer than them so far. So, I mean, it's kind of impressive. I mean, this title has some prestige a little bit. So.
Okay. So, like, real quick on the global thing, because I don't want to bog it down, but I have to ask. Do you think there are too many titles in New Japan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which ones will you cut out?
I would just combine a lot of them.
I don't think there's a need for an IC and US title.
unless they're really going to utilize it.
I agree, but you know
they just made it.
But they had to give Kenny a participation trophy this time again. So
shout out to Rich.
Rich hates when I say that shit. He hates it so much. He loves Kenny. But yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, I'm not really a big fan of 6-man tag titles either. Mm-hmm. Like I don't really care for the NEVER titles or like the Ring of Honor 6-man tag titles, because you really don't have that many like normal 6-man teams. You usually have to like throw together some team like they did here, like challenge these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not like it's Mexico where like that's the whole companies are built around 6-man like trios matches.
Right.
So it's not really. I agree with you. I also think that there's no need for a junior and a heavyweight tag team title.
Right. There should be one tag division.
Because both their tag divisions are always so paper thin and weak.
Yeah, especially when like the Young Bucks, you know, who are looking buff right now, weighing 206 pounds. Yeah, they're. Right now.
You mean the Big Bucks?
Yeah, the Big Bucks.
They're heavyweights now.
Chrome Bucks. Yeah, with being heavyweights, what, a year ago? About a year is when they moved up?
No,
they just moved up.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it was, okay.
They just moved up like a month or two ago.
Yeah, at Honor Rising in February.
Yeah, they were kind of testing the waters a little bit before that.
Why do I feel like Wrestle Kingdom was so long ago when it was only like just, you know,
bro,
like 3-4 months ago?
Me and Jeremy were talking about like what happened this month, and I was like, well, we started off with the anniversary show, and Jeremy's like, that was this month?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, bro, it was in the beginning of the month.
And this might be a controversial statement, but I go back and forth on whether they need a junior title.
Oh, they need the junior title.
Yeah, I feel like they need a junior
title. I just feel like sometimes
people get lost in the watch, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's just like, at this point, getting the junior title is one of their most prestigious titles.
Yeah, well, yeah, just New Japan does a good job with their junior division.
Yes, they accentuate their junior division. Like, in, you know, they actually, you know, put their juniors in a potential spot.
Right, I mean, junior titles
actually wrestle the other guys too at times. So
right, and they main event shows with the the junior title.
I mean, there's an argument to be made that they utilize their titles probably not perfectly, but better than almost any other company, even the ones that don't matter as much, like these 6-man tag titles. But yeah, I mean, I would agree that they have too many just in general.
Okay, sorry for dragging the show down for like 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Our listen, we, hey, speaking of which, we've got a ton of new listeners.
Yeah,
we've talked about this stuff in the past. They probably never heard us discuss this stuff, so I mean, like last week's show is our most listened to show ever.
Yeah,
by like a wide margin. Like a lot. Yeah, so I don't know, the show's been growing, it's been crazy. So I mean, if you've been tuning in, you're hearing us for the first time talk about this, or you know, you're hearing it again, you know, that's
deal
with it.
But there's a lot of people who haven't really heard our opinions on this stuff, so it's good. Yeah, our hot takes. So
And also, if you guys are fans now, you should go through the archive. So
yeah,
good stuff there.
We got, this is what, episode 18, Keeping a Strong Style.
I'm just like James Boyd. I'm just the talent. I just show up.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know what number of the show it is. That's your job, man.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
So go out and check out the archives. But yeah, this match ended. We had a nice gun stun.
Oh, that stun gun was awesome.
Our gun stun, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Tama got busted open, which brought us to the first hard way of the night. Yeah. Number one.
Ding. What was it, like four?
There was like five.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so this is the first one. And, yeah, I mean, there's nothing really special about this match. How about Michael Elgin's, like, still...
Dude, after that match with Ishii, dude...
It seemed like you watched that match with us. What did you when you saw that match? What did you think? Like, did you not think that they're gonna put the like rocket on Elgin after that match?
Well, I mean, you know how that is with you always joke like Western fans when it comes to Ishii. Like we have a higher regard, we hold on a higher esteem than the Japanese fans who are actually, you know, watching it as their domestic product. So. Like for us, I'm thinking like, yeah, that seems like a rocket. Like it's gonna move you to a certain spot on the card, higher than where he was even last year, even though he was in the G1. But you know, they don't really like really regard Ishii as like that big of a pivotal win. Like he might be like the for lack of a better word, like he might be the top of the mid card type of thing. But like,
you're not.
I don't know. I don't think like him beating him was gonna like move him all the way to the top. Like, I wish that would mean something like that, but it's just not with Ishii.
You're not entirely wrong, but here's something that also Western fans don't take into account. It's not that he's not important, it's just that he's not as important.
No, he is. I didn't want to make it out to seem like he's not important. He's like, but they have him as, like, top of the mid card type.
He's like, Cesaro. So
he's Cesaro.
That's what
he's Cesaro. He's a guy that, because the truth of the matter is, he actually has, last year he had more singles matches than any other non big four guy and non champion, and he had a higher win percentage than almost any other person on the card.
Right.
Not just in singles, but also in tags, just across the board. So they always book him strong, but he's a utility guy that puts over other guys.
But that's the thing; like, he's still the fifth. He's still the fifth or sixth guy. So, like, there's only so much they can possibly do with him, because wins and losses matter in New Japan.
The thing, though, is Elgin has not done anything since, I don't know, the G1 special last year.
Yeah.
And even in the G1, he didn't do so hot. So it seemed to me like that win, with how great that match was and the performance and the moment,
could have been a spark.
I thought they were rebuilding Elgin.
I thought they were rebuilding him, and no. He didn't even, bro, they were smart. They didn't even bring him to America.
Yeah, and now he's back.
Real smart.
He's back now on multi-man matches.
Yeah, so I don't, and yes, which is crazy. We're going to WrestleMania, the three of us, and me and James saw him wrestle last year. What?
Yeah, last year on the Rev Pro show, right?
Yeah, the Rev Pro show, but he was all over the place. I mean.
Yes, he was.
He's not booked at all.
Yeah. You know what else is, like, itching? Like, I don't. You gotta ask me, when's the last time you seen Rich in that Big Mike shirt? I ain't seen him in that shit since whatever happened came out.
If you're a Michael Elgin fan, you might want to hit up Rich Latta. He might have a Big Mike t-shirt you want to get.
I didn't want to tell you, but for free too. I don't want to put Rich's stuff out in the streets like that. Let people know he paid money.
I mean, but he bought the shirt a year before all this stuff came out. Like, he's not the moral gatekeeper of people he doesn't know.
Right. But there's been a lot of speculation out here, and me and Jeremy have talked about it. We're like, well, you know, from what we understand, what the going-ons and the ongoings of, like, Western stars in America don't, even if it's controversial, don't really affect too much, like, the Japanese public perception of them.
Weed.
Well, right, yeah. Like Matt Sydal.
So it's a different culture. With that being said, though, they're still kind of not pushing him. It's weird. Like,
yeah. It's really weird. So, I guess we'll see what happens G1 time.
So, yeah, so Tama Tonga.
Yeah, I think it is probably the bigger toe. Yeah. Like, if he comes out here and he's, like, you know, I don't know, 3-9 or something like that.
Yeah.
Not 3-9, 3-6. You're like, oof.
He'll end up with a respectable 4-5 or something like that. So Fale, Tungaloa, Tama Tonga retain their titles. They'll probably be dropping them very shortly, I gotta assume.
Well, we'll talk about it later. There's a 6-man title defense coming up.
Okay.
Later this month.
But yeah, that's Dungun from Tama Tonga. Awesome.
Very nice. So next match, we had the Ace, Tanahashi, teaming up with Juice Robinson and David Finley.
Whoa. The, what's Juice's nickname?
Oh, the Flamboyant.
The Flamboyant.
Juice Robinson, excuse me. David Finley taking on the Chaos team of Hirooki Goto, Jay White, and Yoshihashi.
I think it's a pretty good team, but as soon as they came out, Rich was like, oh my god, Team Extra Regular.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, Goto's kind of swaggerless.
Goto hasn't mattered. We talked about this that night. Goto has not mattered since he Wrestle Kingdom, since January.
It's funny. Suzuki lost that match, but Suzuki elevated and Goto declined.
Oh, yeah. Heavily.
That is true. But when you just look at the performances from that night, and you just, as far as current performances, like, besides maybe Jericho, who's better that night than Suzuki?
Right.
But you also got
that dude's a freaking maniac.
But here's the crazy thing: Suzuki had one of the worst years ever last year. He was awful all year.
His never title run was horrible.
His never run sucked. So I did not expect this 2018 Suzuki that we're
getting. Yeah, the turnaround is unexpected. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. When Suzuki gets his hands on Goto again, my God!
Oh my gosh!
I don't know if it's ever gonna.
It will not be. It will not be rated TV 14. I'll put it in like that.
So it seems like we're building. Obviously, Dave Finley and Jay White got smoke, and then Goto and Juice. Obviously, we're leading to that. Do you think that we're getting something between Yoshihashi and Tanahashi?
I don't think so. I think they look.
Ghetto, you think that's the program they're building to?
Ghetto looked at the card and he was like, "Who haven't I used yet? Crap, I haven't used Tanahashi yet. I'll throw him there. Crap, I have to use Yoshihashi. I'll throw him in this match."
Nah, I think that this is the beginning of a long-seeded feud.
Oh gosh.
See, this is why I said you were heel earlier.
Oh my god. So anyway, so let's talk about this match. What were your thoughts, James?
I thought it was a good match. I thought that they I do like the fact that they had Tanahashi get the pin at the end. I have to say, the Goto thing, like, now that I'm thinking about it, looking a little in my mind now, like, I don't remember anything he did in this match. What did he do in this match?
First off, let me just say before I answer that, that was not my phone. That was not my iPad.
That was me this time.
That was Jeremy.
Not my phone either. Like, I treat this stuff like the movies. Put it on vibrate or put it on mute.
They keep it chirping.
But yeah, I actually don't have much memory of Goto in this match either, to be honest with you, except for I think he got. I do remember what Goto did in this match. He got hit with the freaking
Pulp Friction.
He got hit with the Pulp Friction
for like what, the second or third time on this tour.
Yeah, bro. Like if they got me believing that Juice is gonna beat him, bro.
I do. I want Juice to. This is probably the fourth week in a row I've said this. I want Juice to beat Goto.
They're setting us up for a heartbreak. I bet you. Yeah. I bet you they're setting us up for a heartbreak.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if
I don't think they'll put him over him yet. At least not yet. Maybe like in another year.
Well, here's the thing. So last year when he got his first title shot for the NEVER title, it was against Goto. Mm-hmm. After that, he's had performance after performance where he's had title shots and been beat up. Naito. Yep. Exactly, and then he beat Kenny Omega in the G1.
Right.
He just had that incredible, you know, run through the New Japan Cup, and he's got new gear, so he's obviously on a new level. Mm-hmm. And Juice has been coming off like a real star, and he's over in Japan. And every time they put him and Goto in the ring together,
Juice is over.
He's over, and he's getting the better of Goto. And the story last year when they wrestled was that he was still a young boy, basically, nowhere near Goto's level, and he got outclassed.
Didn't he hardway Goto? Was it this match or was the last match?
I don't remember. It was one of those.
It was Long Beach.
It was Long Beach.
He busted Goto's mouth open.
So I'm like starting to seriously get suspect about like. He's beating Goto a lot in these matches. Goto's not getting any offense.
Yeah.
They got us believing in Juice. Gato's gonna pull the rug from underneath us and freaking have him lose and have him chase that belt.
I would say that if you're concerned about like the futures of the Young Bucks and also of Kenny, like after this next Wrestle Kingdom, then you might want to start, you know,
pushing dudes.
Start getting them, you know.
I agree.
For the new Gaijin. Yeah.
My whole thing is that you could do the whole pull the rug underneath him, break his heart, build him back up, and all that. That's fine. But
you could. You don't have to.
But don't do it at the NEVER level.
Right. That's true.
Right.
Because you can't.
You make him like a gig.
You kneecap this guy.
Right. You're saying he can only see that at a certain level. Right.
Yeah.
You Braun Strowman him.
And he's. Yeah.
Right.
And he's literally at the point now where it's like I could see him having an IC title run, and dude, it's not that unbelievable for me at this point. So,
and speaking of a new Gaijin, James, what are your thoughts on Switchblade Jay White?
Hot take,
really? Yeah. I don't hate him like.
Oh, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying this is your hot take. This is your moment because this is a controversial subject.
Yeah, I know, but like I'm not really like on either side of like he's clearly a talented guy. He just hasn't like. He hasn't fully taken full advantage of the opportunities he's been given, like this semi main at Strong Style Evolve.
Right.
So, I mean, but he still puts on a quality wrestling match, and that's pretty much all you can really ask for a guy. You can't like. I really don't. I mean, obviously it's New Japan. Everyone thinks like everybody should be able to be like as good as the big five, for lack of a better word, but. That's a really high fucking standard. So like maybe like let him like grow into that. Give him time. Like can he at least get a year? Can he get a full year?
Well, it sounds like all three of us are in the same camp then. That give him some time. Where our brother Rich, you know, buries this man at every turn.
But Rich is impatient because Rich is like, look, Rich is sitting on the WWE product. And like he knows what, and you know what that is, right?
Right.
We all know what that is.
Right.
So when you watch New Japan or NXT or 205 Live, you're like, look, I spend 3 hours or 5 hours a week watching WWE. So
this is my when escape. I
watch other stuff, this is supposed to be like this, you know, like I'm watching, I'm eating 5 hours of vegetables.
Right.
I want protein. I want sugar. You know, I want butter and fat. Like, I want all that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's what you really want.
He wants.
That's why he doesn't like Zack Sabre Jr. either. He's like, look, get that shit out of here. That's not what I want.
He wants a Pizookie with ice cream on top of it.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Whole thing?
The whole thing. Oh, my God. But, yeah, you know what? My whole thing with Jay White is this. Great wrestler? Absolutely. Is there more potential than what he's probably shown us? Probably. I would be way more impatient and way less satisfied if his character work wasn't so phenomenal.
Dude, yeah, his promos are fire.
He's the most interesting thing that is happening in New Japan every single time they have backstage interviews. Every time he's literally like puppeteering the entire organization.
I'm pondering my question.
I was gonna say he lit Hangman Page on fire in that press conference before Strong Style Evolved.
Yeah, that was one of the best promos of the year. And I mean, New Japan's not even a company known for great promos, but yeah, it was awesome.
Okay, so do you guys think that? Okay, do you think he's like basically like the American Sonata?
No. Well, he's not American.
Like, well, sorry.
the New Zealand
Western Sonata, where he's a guy that can do pretty much anything in the ring, right?
Right.
But like,
does not put it all together. There's something missing.
There's something missing with connecting to the crowd. Is like to where like he that's just keeping him back. But like, if he ever figures it out, look out. It's at least right now.
That's not.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.